Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, September 4th, 2013. Again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Oh, very active day in the markets today, and it's a good day to be in good in gold and silver. It's even a better day if you're looking to buy them, as we had a little bit of a pullback today. Let me get to my pricing here. Our pullback today, down $18.50 at $13.94. Silver took a little bit of a beating. It's coming back, though, down over a little, about 3%. $23.64, down 75 cents. Platinum was down about almost 2.5, down 36 bucks at $15.03, along with palladium down 17 at $705. The white metals got a beating on today, not as bad as gold, but platinum and palladium, which surprises me, really, because you actually had the strikes in South Africa begin. So it surprises me they were hammered so bad today. But and even the U.S. dollar today was down 0.22 at 82.16. Crude oil was down about $1.28 at 107.26. Paper markets stronger today. Go figure. But certainly on a strong economic and corporate news, they were stronger by 96 points at 14,930. The NASDAQ was up 36 at 36.49. S&P up 13 at 16.53. And, of course, that bumped the 10-year yield. Everything's getting better, so there's no reason people can't pay higher interest rates. 10-year yield, 2.90%. So an interesting day in the markets today, probably a little pent-up trading from the holiday week and light trading yesterday. So, but there were some interesting reports that came out today. You had the Beige Book coming out from the Federal Reserve, so the talk about tapering off is probably a little bit, again, stronger with the numbers that they came out with their economic growth outlook. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. Metals are down, dollars down, stock market is up, crude oil's down. I wonder if this, do you suppose this has anything to do with the public perception of whether we will or will not go to war or at least attack Syria?
No, I don't think it has anything to do.
Probably not, but
Today's market, I don't think there's any, war news in the markets today. Eight times a year, the Federal Reserve, they come out with the beige book, and basically it's it gives you an idea of business conditions and what it is. You have the 12 regional bank districts, and there's no numbers attached to it. It's just all anecdotal, and they come out with this information. They contact businesses, economists, financial experts, all by phone. They have questionnaires and emails, and everybody responds, and then all this is all gathered and put together. So with that information, this is where we came up with the economy is a little bit stronger. The economic growth held steady across the United States through July and August. So you have a little bit better housing, employment, even though they failed to tell you that it's all part-timers, and the credit market, and they'll give you the breakdown. And it comes in prior to, I don't know how many days before the actual meeting, 2 weeks, 1 week, something like that, to where you actually have the FOMC meeting, to where they come out. And, of course, everyone is expecting at that meeting that they will be pulling back on the $85 billion a month of funds being introduced into the bond market, buying up bonds. So I can't imagine that they would mess with any of these markets, Al, with a war with Syria hanging over their heads, plus the debt ceiling that is also will be an issue at the end of this month. So a lot of strange and bizarre things happening. And for one thing, the markets just didn't even react.
You mean the stock market didn't react?
The stock markets, gold and silver should certainly be stronger. They shouldn't have had the impact that they had today. I've been sidetracked today with clients today, so I haven't really been seeing if there was any one particular item that...
I don't know that there's one particular item. I mean, it's one of these things where you sit back and you scratch your head sometimes. You wonder what's going on, if anything. It's like tracking a ping pong ball in a room full of mousetraps or something like that. It's pretty hard to just do cause and effect and say this happened for this reason. The ball's bouncing all over the place, and sometimes you don't understand why, and I don't know that anyone clearly understands why. And that's what we're all looking for. Can we figure out the why? If we can figure out the why, then the rest of it becomes pretty easy. Huh? But until we actually get a handle, say, this is why this is happening, and that's why we're always looking for a why.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's certainly a lot of speculation out there, and I've seen some commentaries and references to Syria, to the markets, to what's happening, to what could be happening in the Northeast, and no wonder people are so confused in what to do. They don't know what to do. It's the old proverbial deer in the headlights. They just stand there and do nothing because they're not sure of what's going to happen. Instead of really looking at the fundamentals of everything and truly just looking at the problems that we have, those we can address. Everything else is, we can speculate. We speculate here on the programs. We give our opinions on what we think we're going to see happen in Syria. And I'll tell you what, after watching Obama over in Sweden this morning, I had the opportunity to watch maybe 10, 15 minutes of his little speech, and then he answered a few questions that was asked from the reporters. I didn't know. It was like he couldn't string two sentences together. He was just rambling. He was just rambling. He was leaning on his shoulder. Here he is, trying to get support for this thing he wants to go on with Syria for war. And, he's slouching like he's talking to a bunch of, buddies at the, around the bar. And he couldn't string together any sentence.
Just chilling with his homies. That's all it is. He's got his Swedish homies over there, and they're just getting together.
He didn't know when to shut up. In fact, I was thinking to myself, "Well, you better shut up. You better better be quiet. Stop saying, just be quiet and let them, you know, ask you the questions. He just kept on and on. I mean, he made absolutely, in my eyes, no sense whatsoever. And what a poor showing. And I had to hand it to the one reporter. She was from Sweden, I believe. And she asked him about the Nobel Peace Prize.
Did he give it back? I told you yesterday. That's why he was going over there to return it. Did he give it back or not?
But you know what? He says, well, when I accepted that, I told everyone that I was not worthy of it.
Oh, my God. Oh,
I'm not sure that was an exact quote, but pretty close to an exact quote. But
I'm going to have to find that video. I'm going to have to watch that. That is just too good. That is just the moment of truth. The one moment of truth that we can point to in, what, 6 years of the Obama administration? Five, anyway. 5 years of the Obama administration.
I just couldn't believe what I was hearing coming out of his mouth. And it was just like, just, he had absolutely no confidence whatsoever. And it was a poor showing for the president of the United States.
Well, what do you say?
So, very interesting. But, and, you know, since we're kind of...
You know, one of the things about it, there are things that we don't know. We speculate on them on the program, and we try to offer credible explanations and try to string a little logic together and say, if this is true, then this would seem to follow. But you have to, you know, you have to bear in mind, there's stuff Obama doesn't know either. He may not know as much as we do. The fact that may be the truth of it, although he certainly has access to information that you and I can't imagine. But even at his level, he has to deal with a great deal of uncertainty. I don't think he knows what's going on.
Well, you have to understand, too, that a lot of his information comes from all these baboons that are under him, and they're supposed to bring him the information. They all have their own separate agendas. They all want to do something. And here's an interesting headline I just saw. Al, Secretary of State John Kerry today, said that the... And I said, how can we go to war when we're so far in debt? We have the debt ceiling. I mean, nobody's addressing that. The Iraq war cost estimates $4 trillion. That's with a T and not a B. Here he says that the Arab countries have offered to pay.
Oh, my God.
To pay for the unseating of Assad if the United States took the lead militarily.
What they're saying is the United States military is for sale to the highest bidder.
With respect to Arab countries offering to bear costs and to assist, the answer is profoundly yes. They have. That offer is on the table. Representative Ileana Ross Lettinen out of Florida, about how much those countries would contribute. Kerry said that they have offered to pay for all of a full invasion.
What about insurance on the soldiers?
In fact, some of them have said that if the United States is prepared to go do the whole thing the way we've done it previously in other places, they'll carry that cost, Kerry said. That's how dedicated they are at this. That's not in the cards, and nobody's talking about it, but they're talking in serious ways about getting this done.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Apparently, the people in Saudi Arabia think the military should be for sale, just like our congressmen, senators, and presidents. That's the implication, at least one from my perspective. The whole country is perhaps for sale to the highest bidder. And it's evidence of a mindset, a system of values that's just wrong. We have turned from a nation into an economy. In a nation, you have a system of values based on right and wrong, at least relative to your nation. In an economy, the only right and wrong is profit and loss.
Well, you know, there are some interesting theories about there. I thought perhaps this was a way to backdoor into Iran to control their oil. And now you know that it does involve oil, with the Saudis wanting, you know, having this done. And, of course, there's also the question of the natural gas and the pipeline.
There's one other question also.
And Russia. Russia's the main player in this. So
I've seen a report lately that may or may not be exactly accurate, but the report I saw believes that Iran and Syria are the last two countries that have banks that are operating that are not associated with the fiat monetary system and ultimately associated with the Rothschild banks. Maybe it's for the oil, maybe it's for the gas, maybe it's to get rid of that banking system.
Well, to get rid of the banking system, it means that it has a lot to do with the dollar being traded for oil. And I'll tell you what, if the Arabs are after that natural gas and oil out of those two countries, you know their promises are we'll continue selling the oil with the U.S. dollars. So that keeps our U.S. dollar right there as a reserve currency. So,
well, it may be that the Saudis, for example, they're not necessarily concerned about taking control of Syrian oil, however much that might be. It may be just enough to take it off the market. Not a question of getting it to get the profits, but just to eliminate a competitor.
Yeah, but now we go...
Then you can make more off Saudi oil than you can off stealing someone else's oil. Your price goes up.
Then you could start talking about peak oil. And if the Saudis are really having peak oil, they do need the new lifeline. So,
and just you know, there's 100 ways to look at it and speculate as to what's going on. But
we do know
about it is it's unlikely that they're doing any of this because it's the right thing to do in a moral sense. This is being moved by special interests who figure there's an angle here where they can make some money or gain some power off an attack on Syria.
This isn't about, as they always, if you listen to any one of them trying to promote this war in Syria, they always bring out the 400 children who lost their lives. Now, they don't talk about the thousands of children who have lost their lives in other places that we might have been responsible for because of the sanctions, cutting off the food, and they've starved to death. We won't talk about those children, but they do talk about the children, and even in his speech today, talking about, I believe it was today, that they talked about the 400 children in Syria that lost their lives due to this gas. You're right. This is special interests, and it doesn't have anything to do with those children.
No, that's just a pretext.
And
they like to trot that out, show you a picture of a puppy and a little kitten sitting in somebody's lap, and that means these people are lovable and likable and the rest of that sort of thing. It's all just so much nonsense, and it disturbs me that they don't even make an attempt to give us credible lies. That's one of the things that bothers me. I just wish they would at least give me a lie I might be able to believe in. They feed me lies that... You've got to be an eighth grader to believe half the stuff the government puts out. And they don't mind if they tell you anyway. What else was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Do you remember Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State? Mm-hmm. She was interviewed on 60 Minutes. I can't remember the lady who interviewed her on 60 Minutes. This was back prior. This would be back about 2001, thereabouts. I don't recall, but it was prior to our most recent invasion of Iraq, and it was during the sanctions we had an embargo where Iraq could not import all of the medicines it needed, all of the food it needed, and part of the result of that is it was estimated that 500,000 Iraqi children died, not 400, 500,000. And when asked, Madeleine Albright was asked on 60 Minutes, did she think this was worth it? The price of these children's lives was worth it in order to maintain these embargoes on Iraq. And she said it was a difficult choice, but she thought it was worth it. So here she is saying, we don't have a problem with killing 500,000 children. To achieve what? In retrospect, whatever they hope to achieve would perhaps have been achieved. You expect it would have been achieved by the war, the later invasion of Iraq. What was achieved? Anything? Does anyone know? What did we gain? Got Saddam out. We got rid of the Iraqi dinar. It was no longer backed by gold. We've accomplished a few things, but we haven't accomplished anything that would be on a moral level of right and wrong. And Iraq is as bad off as now as it was before we got there. We're out of time for the first segment of the program, so we're going to take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Hey, I just want to remind listeners to visit our website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter along with all of our radio programs are archived there on a daily and long-term basis. And we still have those Morgan silver dollars. In fact, I put a package together just as we speak You know my favorite little fractional piece is my AU $5 Liberty gold piece. And we also have a tube of 20 Morgan silver dollars. 20 Morgan silver dollars. Everything's included, $1,000. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. There's another announcement. Oh, folks, if you have any questions for today's program, questions@dgscoins.com. Make sure you send us your questions. And, of course, if you want to call us with a question, 800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. And, Alfred, I believe we have a caller, David from Indiana. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon. Hey, I'm just one of the folk Mr. Obama references from time to time. But, you know, what I was thinking, this is just hypothetical, but, you know, shy of going to war, I was listening to a Mr. Savage last night and was trying to mention this, and their call screener cut me off, so you might want to cut me off. But,
we'll wait until after we hear what you say, and then we'll decide whether
you
to cut
what?
You off.
You know what? Let me say this. You know what you're allowed to say, so say it in a manner that keeps you on the air.
Yes, ma'am. But Mr. Savage was talking that the gas reserves there in Iran
or Syria?
Syria. Well, I think the major part of the field's in Iran, but the pipeline, gas line, would be going through Syria.
Okay.
But if these two countries are not a part of that debased money system that we're a part of, that would be one. And Savage was saying there's 100 years worth of gas for Europe there. That's a heck of an infusion into their monetary system. 100 years. That might force those guys to bring on some other gas reserves elsewhere, and that would drive the price of gas down just to keep these guys in check.
No, I understand. It's, again, what is the controlling special interest in this story? And is there even one controlling special interest? Everybody's got their nose in this thing, and everybody stands to make a buck on it. I don't mean everybody, of course, but I mean Saudi's got their nose in it. Israel's got its nose in. United States, France is in it, or at least considering being in it. Great Britain has bowed out. You know, there's Europe. The European Union may stand to benefit from this thing. Everybody's got an angle, and I don't believe the angle is saving the Syrian people. That may be a pretext, but it's not the intent. They don't care if they kill everybody in Syria.
The only, my question, if it provides Europe with 100 years worth of oil and natural gas, why wouldn't they be backing in order to participate so they get this oil for 100 years? Why wouldn't they want to be a part of it?
Well, I don't know who you mean by they. Do you
European.
Mean the people of
Europe.
Yep. Do you mean the people of Europe, or do you mean the people who are in control of the European Union? And those aren't necessarily the same people. They're not necessarily acting in concert. The people in control may be doing what's best for the oil and gas industry. They may not want a 100-year supply to be discovered and put on the market. Not just it's already discovered, but they may not want a 100-year supply because it's going to cut costs. The people might want it, but the people in control might not. Special interests might not. So who is the government representing right now? We, the people of Europe or the special interests of Europe? The answer is probably special interests.
Absolutely, of course. Mm-hmm. And really, we're not talking about the gas that's in Syria. They would be used as a pipeline.
All right, pipeline.
Pipeline would be, but still. And then you would have the Russia basically would be supplying. But there's a lot of governmental interests.
There's all sorts of complexities, and everybody's got an angle. And it's just, it's like being mugged by a gang. Huh? There are a gang of criminals at work who are bound and determined, or at least inclined, to rob the country of Syria. And they're going to say, well, Syria needs to be robbed because Syria is a bunch of bad guys. I won't argue Syria's are good. Syria is good or bad. It's not my point. My point would be I'd leave Syria largely alone because if they don't mess with this country, why should we mess with them? Because Syrian government is the problem of the Syrian people. Let them work it out. But here we are getting ourselves involved in something again. We were in Iraq for 8.5 years. I don't know. I don't remember how long we were in Vietnam, but 6, 7 anyway. We get into these things. We have no exit strategy. We don't even have a clear objective that people can understand. I don't doubt there is a clear objective that's understood by the elite.
The elites.
Yeah, they get it. They know what they're up to. But the rest of us are saying, what the heck is going on here?
What else did you have to say, David? I do appreciate you calling. What else?
Yeah. Well, David, not too much, but it seems like, Russia would have the largest monetary value to lose because they're pumping a lot of gas to Europe as it is. And you would think if the Russians could live with the Syrian pipeline or the Islamic pipeline that the whole world could.
Well, it's difficult. Melody was talking yesterday or the day before about a study that suggests that whenever we go to war, the dollar becomes more valuable. And some people suspect, if I understood what you were saying correctly, at least that was my understanding, and some people infer from that that we go to war just for the sake of holding the dollar up and preventing the dollar from depreciating more rapidly. Is it true? Is it false? Who knows? The question is, there are so many different angles. And this is part of the consequence. Excuse me again, running or something. This is part of the consequence of an integrated global world. We are all so tied together with all kinds of countries all over the world. We no longer just take care of our own business. Syria, to some degree, does make a difference to what happens in the United States and Ohio and Nebraska and Texas and so on. Syria, why should Syria even count in this country? You know, there was, to some degree, when the American people couldn't even tell you where Syria was on a map, we might have been better off. We would not have been as involved. We would have been more independent. And therefore, if something happens in Syria, what do we care? We're making our own cars, we're making our own trucks, we're making our own computers and washing machines and so on. We're doing fine. Syria, that's their problem. By this free global trade and a global economy, we have become dependent on what happens all over the world. And there's no way we can deal with that level of complexity on a rational basis. We've got too many interests, and we need, and that's going to continue as long as we stay integrated in the global economy. And what can I say? It's just another sign of the part of the troubles that we have.
Do you have anything else, David?
No, ma'am. Much obliged.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Thank you very much, David. And I have no idea why they would have cut you off. You are very much a gentleman, so thank you very much.
Well,
go ahead.
I was surprised to the same call screener cut me off once when I thought the drones were Obama's.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Savage and his screener.
I appreciate.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, George. I mean, thank you, David.
Yep.
And we have George from Toronto calling.
Well, George.
Hi, George.
I've got a theory as to why the Obama regime is so keen to go on to war right away. I heard Jerome Corsi say that he's got information that the Egyptian government, who is putting some members, I think, of the Muslim Brotherhood on trial, that they got documents showing that the U.S. government was paying off these guys. Like, he was quoting figures, I think he said, like $850,000 a year to do as they're told.
going to Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood. True? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah, so here we are supporting supposed adversaries.
Well, that would bring down Obama if that ever gets out.
Oh, it's gotten out to some degree. We understand that the government is supporting, is providing financial support that ultimately goes to Al-Qaeda over in the Syrian situation, in the Syrian conflict that's going on right now. Al-Qaeda is reaping the benefit of funds our government is injecting into that conflict. Al-Qaeda was allegedly the people responsible for 9/11.
I know. We're living on the funny farm, Al. I know that.
I understand that. And there's times
what's up
like,
is down with blackest white these
one.
Days, and I think it's deliberate.
I'm the only one in the institution who doesn't get any meds. Everybody else gets their meds. I have to deal with this without any medication. That's what makes me angry, you know?
I hear you.
But it just becomes what was true today and what will be true tomorrow and what was true yesterday, they don't necessarily have any relationship anymore. Where's the stability? Where is it's just reaction, and no fundamental values.
Is it going to take people out on the streets marching, saying no more war, no more Illuminati control? What is it going to take?
It's going to take people out on the streets starving.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't believe they're go out. They're gonna. I don't believe they're gonna walk, get up off the couch, and move en masse into the streets, which they could do. And we could make a big difference in this country if people wanted to be active. It's easily done, and it doesn't require 51% of the population. If one man in 20 would stand up and say no right now, no, 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 say it now, we could change this country. I doubt that we're going
to
see that.
Starting to wake.
So people are starving.
It's like Bob Chapman said, the U.S. will be a third world country if things don't change.
I know. I understand that. We're certainly moving in that direction, and it's not because the American people want it. It's not because the American people precisely deserve it, but on one level. We do deserve it insofar as we've allowed our government to mislead us, guide us, take us in false directions, and work for the benefit of special interests other than those of the people of the United States of America. They've gotten into all these special interests, both domestic and foreign. Now what? And we are just coming along like kids on a leash. It needs to be stopped. But it won't until American people stand up and say enough.
Hmm? Like, I don't totally blame the American people. Some ways yes, some ways no. But I blame a lot the corporate media. They are just not telling the truth. They're not covering stories. You know how they shut Ron Paul out during the election? I think that's a big factor. It's the propagandized, you know?
I agree that it's a big factor. Tell me this. How do you think things are different in Canada as compared to the United States? Are they better? Are they worse? Are they just the same?
Currently, I think they're about the same. At one time, I used to like watching the Canadian Broadcast Corporation because we used to talk to them, but they just seem to be going along with whatever's current. Americans also agree with that. Occasionally, you'll get some documentaries that are quite good and a bit enlightening. But other than that, it's the same.
Yeah, that's what I assume. I assume it's pretty much moving in lockstep and not moving in a good direction. What do the people of Canada think about this? What's their general gut reaction? Are they eager, unwilling, anxious?
Honestly, I haven't talked to a lot of them, so I can't really give you a good answer on that.
Hmm. All right, well, George...
For me personally, I think it's a disaster if you go into Syria, because there's so many unknowns and how it'll unwind.
I agree. It's a bunch of innocent people are going to get killed. That's what's going to happen. More people will die if we invade than will die otherwise. You can just bet on it. It's going to happen. And supposedly we're going to kill them to save
them. Why are they pushing so damn hard, Al? Like, there's got to be something behind, you know? Like,
I agree with you.
Haven't you noticed that? Like, and it can't be just for his ego that he wants to save face.
And whatever it is, it's not what they're telling us. George, we're going to have to break here for some commercials. If you want to hang on, you can. Otherwise, we want to thank you for being on the phone. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from ABR. The ABR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Frank, our producer, he threw us a comment on the instant messaging system. He says the U.S. is allied with Saudi Arabia. Russia is allied with Syria. Russia has a lot of money to lose, and the Saudis want it. Frank thinks this is part of the explanation, perhaps primarily the explanation for what's happening in Syria. This is a long-term plan to run a pipeline through Iraq and Syria from Saudi Arabia to supply Europe with gas and take that supply away from Russia. Russia is still an adversary to the world fiat currency scam. Now, that makes a certain amount of sense. That makes a little bit of sense. You know, we're looking for answers. We're looking for explanations that are credible, plausible, whatever. Why are they doing this? If this pipeline goes through Syria and the supply of natural gas can be supplied coming to Europe from the Middle East rather than Russia, this would diminish the wealth, the power, the military might of Russia. So, is that the reason? Are we going to invade Syria, or at least attack Syria, to get Russia? Is that what's really going on here? And I don't know that it is, but it's exactly the kind of reasoning that can be taking place in a world as complex as this one is. We're gonna mug Syria in order to put a lump on Russia's head. That may be what's happening down here. We would have been better, in my opinion. We would at least live in a world that we could understand if we tended to just be independent, take care of our own, and let the rest of the world go wherever it's going. And if it wants to go to hell, let it go. All right? We're not here to save it. We're not here to hurt it. We're just here to take care of ourselves. That's what we should be doing, in my opinion. And I'm sure a lot of people disagree with that, but this involvement with foreign countries, it's going to destroy us, just as it did the Soviet Union. Soviet Union was collapsed in, at least in part, based on its determination to involve itself in the affairs of the world and support one communist country after another in the Cold War. And the cost of subsidizing those foreign countries ultimately broke the Soviet Union's back. It wasn't the only cost, but it was one of the costs. We're doing the same thing. We're getting tangled up in Iraq for $4 trillion. And I don't know what Afghanistan cost, and I don't know what Syria is going to cost. But it's at a time when we're already the world's biggest debtor nation. In my lifetime, we have gone from the world's wealthiest nation to the world's biggest debtor nation. And we're doing it to significant degree because we are playing world policeman. We're going to settle everybody else's affairs. We're going to intrude where nobody wants us for reasons that we can't, our government won't even tell us what the reasons are. Again, Frank is offering a pretty good idea. You know, maybe this is all about just trying to needle Russia. No. What do you think, Melody?
Well, it certainly is. And when you think about Russia, Cyprus, I guess who had the most money in the Cyprus banks? Yeah. It was the Russians. And so, folks, it's there's a big plan there. And, lots of times you hear folks say there's no exit strategy and so forth. But, I believe they do. They know exactly what they're doing. You can never, ever underestimate their power and their abilities to do things that we can scratch our heads wondering how in the heck did they do it. But they certainly did. We've seen what they've done to prices with gold. And I just wanted to remind the listeners, gold was down $18.50 today at $1,394. Silver was down about 75 cents at $23.64. And you had the stock market up almost 100 points. And it's certainly not markets conducive to going to war. I mean, there's certainly not numbers that you would think that we would see. But, Al, today Switzerland, they came out today with a report that Switzerland has kept its title as the world's most competitive economy for the fifth year running. And this is produced by the World Economic Forum, the Geneva-based body most famous for gathering politicians and billionaires at the annual shindig at Davos, said that the same economies made the top 10 as last year, but in a different order. You had Singapore and Finland. They remained in second and third places. You had Germany, United States, Hong Kong, Japan, we all edged up, while Sweden and the Netherlands and the United Kingdom all slipped by two or three notches. The United States flair for innovation is what it helped it reverse a four-year downtrend. Although there is still a lot of concerns about our economy, our stability, can you imagine what the forum? Do you know what our ranking is, Al?
I have no idea.
Well, this report has 148 countries, and we rank 117 out of 148.
117th in terms of competitiveness?
The United States flair for innovation helped it reverse four-year downward trend, although serious concerns remained over its macroeconomic stability. The forum said, ranking it 117 out of 148 countries in that category.
That's astonishing. It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. It's shameful.
Hey, we moved up 4 points.
Yeah, big deal.
The report also factors in a survey among business leaders assessing the government's efficiency and transparency. Switzerland, of course, fared across the board. China remained in 29th place, and again led by the BRICS PAC, while Indonesia climbed 12 places to 38th, helped by a 17th place jump in infrastructure and other advances. Let's see. India slipped one position to 60th, while Russia edged up 3 points or three spots to 64th, helped by an improving improving macroeconomic environment. There was also a little change at the bottom of the list. The overall wooden spoon went to Chad.
Well, I don't know what to say. I guess we can look to Chad to see what your future may be, ladies and gentlemen. We've talked about it on the program in the past, report by a pair of economists on the East Coast, whose name I don't recall, came out about 6 weeks ago now. They calculated that if the level of regulation in this country were the same today as it was in 1949, government regulation, if the level were the same, the median home income would be about $330,000 rather than $53,000, which it is today. What they're telling us is the reason we have fallen from what was undoubtedly number one on the list of countries in terms of competitiveness, fallen from number one all the way down to number 117. The primary reason is almost certainly an excess of government. Too much government regulation. You, ladies and gentlemen, are being impoverished by your congressman, by your senator, by your president, by your judges. Every time they enact rulings, laws, regulations that further tie us down, bind us down, and put us in positions where we are incapable of independent action. Not going to end. It's not going to end. We will not see a real resurrection of moving from 117 even up to 20th most competitive country in the world. We won't get that far. We won't get to number 20 until we get big government off our backs. And big government is not going to leave voluntarily. They simply presume they are so smart. I don't know if they even presume they're smart. I don't know if they're doing it to us because they're stupid or because they intend to destroy this country. You know, are we being destroyed by a conspiracy theory where the government is intentionally destroying this country, or are we just being destroyed by a bunch of slick morons who don't have brains enough to know or care that their idiotic laws are destroying this country? I'm not sure that it's important to decide what is the explanation, but it is important to make changes. Well, someone has got to restore freedom. You know, I saw a report back and talked about it, I'm sure, maybe 2 months ago, 6 weeks, 2 months ago on this program, a report that indicated that back when I was a boy, about a quarter of the people who had jobs in this country were self-employed. You had one guy who was repairing shoes. You had another guy who was doing plumbing. You had somebody else who was a carpenter. They weren't just employees. They were self-employed, and we were wealthy, and we were prosperous, and the country looked like it had a fresh coat of paint. I remember it as a child. It was bright and sunny, and now it looks grubby, and it's something like 5% or less who are self-employed. We've turned into a nation of employees. And it has not done us, it has not served us well. And part of the reason is because the regulations are so massive and oppressive that a man can no longer afford to do a job just because he might be competent to do it. It's not enough that you know how to be a plumber, that you know how to be an electrician. You have to also know. If you want to be self-employed, you have to also know how to fill out scores, maybe even hundreds of forms and paperwork. Because the government's got to regulate, the government's got to control. And the net result is we are all increasingly subjected to the status of employee rather than self-employed or employer. We were better off when 25% of this country was self-employed. And not a little bit better off, we were a lot better off. We were the wealthiest nation on the face of the earth, and now we are pushing for the bottom. Got to get involved, folks. You got to do something. You can't just sit on the butt. You can't just, you know, you can't just listen to programs. You've actually got to get involved. You got to go out on a street corner. You got to go have a meeting. I mean, most of the restaurants in this country will make a room available if you'll just eat dinner there. And you got to get 5 or 10 people or 20 or 30 to show up at that meeting room. And then start working to get something done and working to get somebody elected or get someone thrown out of office or working to make some kind of a difference. And we have to do that, or you and I and Melody, we are ultimately just going to allow this country to disappear, to fragment and become insignificant. The once great United States becomes what? A competitor with Chad? Become as competitive as Chad? Is that where we're headed? We're going in that direction as long as we allow big government to continue. What else do we have?
But Melody, I also know that our country can go by the way of Chad, but each individual listening to this program has the ability to protect themselves financially for the money that you have earned and that you have worked hard and saved by protecting it by getting yourself some gold and silver. Last week we talked about Burger King. You had the fast food places, people walked out. They wanted $15 an hour instead of their minimum wage that they're getting. Well, Walmart associates in 15 cities are going to walk off the job tomorrow in a series of actions against the non-union retail giant. And it's being organized by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. The group has claimed that there's going to be thousands that are going to walk off the job. Workers and their supporters announced the largest mobilization since Black Friday, set for Thursday, September 5th. The announcement comes as Walmart has failed to meet a Labor Day deadline to reinstate illegally fired and disciplined workers, publicly commit to improve jobs and end the company's aggressive violations of workers' rights. According to the news release, the walkouts are planned by employees at stores in Boston, Chicago, Cincinnati, Dallas, Denver, L.A., Miami, Minneapolis, New York, Orlando, Sacramento, Seattle, San Francisco. D.C. was included in the group, but, hey, there's no Walmart in D.C. So they have Walmart has 1.3 million workers. And so if you're going shopping.
Yeah, they've already got a Walmart in D.C. They call it Congress.
Yeah.
You get the best prices on any politician you can find in the civilized world.
Yeah, so if you need a job tomorrow, go to Walmart.
Yeah.
While they're coming out, you go in. I'll tell you what, and you're right about when you talk about the restrictions that are, you know, to how people can. How they can run their businesses, the regulations, even with employees.
Everything. They can't just let you get on with your life. Somebody in Washington or your state level, they think, oh, we're so smart, we got to control these people. And I'm saying you don't have to control these people. You leave them alone and they will do well. Leave them to be independent, and they get along, the vast majority. And you put a man like myself, all right, I may not be a big-time corporate magnate, but I can start a little business. I've got 3-4 people in the neighborhood working for me. It's the sort of thing that everyone does better with less government. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank all of you. Let's be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.